16th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net, for the latest. And you could also follow us on Twitter and Instagram with the same handle, thesportscast1. Also, check out our app, The Sportscast. You can hear our radio, hear our podcast, and you can also read the latest in news and sports news. A lot going on in basketball. The NBA has released, they were predicted to release this news after the finals of John Morant being suspended 25 games. And join us all the way from upstate New York, Ryan Krista, the sports guy. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Andy, it's good to see you. It's a weird couple of days, you know, since pretty much April. Been locked in, you know, almost every night, you know, with NBA or NHL playoffs, you know, and all of a sudden it comes to the hole, you know, and all of a sudden baseball season.
Baseball season, College World Series. Of course, yeah. A lot of noise coming on from Major League Baseball as well. Marlins are number two or number one by now.
Yeah, you know, the Marlins are doing well. Well, no surprise, being down in Florida, they're getting the magic touchdown there. So,
well, there you have it. Of course, NBA news is hitting hard this week. Of course, NFL. But we'll cover first. Ja Morant officially been suspended for 25 games. After he displayed a gun on social media, Instagram to be precise, in May, the incident was the second time Morant has branded a weapon live on Instagram. He was suspended, Ryan, for 8 games by the league in March, so he's been suspended before. After broadcasting himself, the Grizzlies have already suspended Morant indefinitely from all team activities for the May incident. Your thoughts over this news matter?
Ja Morant is a special talent, one of my favorite players to watch. I think that when we talked about this a couple months ago, you know, I was like, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's just around bad people sometimes, you know, and, you know, bad company corrupts you, you know. So, you know, I think this is just one more wake-up call, you know, and more incidents like this, and, you know, his whole career is over. It's not just the money he makes from, you know, playing basketball. It's the money he makes from endorsements, you know. He's a guy, you know, the Grizzlies and the NBA can really market, you know, to stay in their league, you know. But, you know, instances like that, you know, he's going to be a guy not just, you know, maybe he'll be in the league, but he won't be a guy that's going to get, you know, these endorsement deals, but no one wants to market a guy, you know, who's, you know, involved in incidents like that. So this is big for him. This is, you know, one of those things that, you know, if he can put this behind him, have a good career, be a solid citizen, people will forget about this. You know, people, you know, time heals. Years from now, I think we're going to hopefully forget about, you know, the bad couple of months for Ja Morant. But that's my hope, you know.
Yeah, the Grizzlies and Ja Morant were eliminated by the Los Angeles Lakers. Ja Morant released a statement right after, maybe a few minutes after the NBA's release. He said, "I have had time to reflect, and I realize how much hurt I've caused. I want to apologize to the NBA, the Grizzlies, my teammates in the city of Memphis, to Adam Silver, Zach Kleiman and Robert Pera, who gave me the opportunity to be a professional athlete and have supported me. I'm sorry for the harm I've done to the kids who I look up to me. I'm sorry for the failing you as a role model. I promise I'm going to be better. To all my sponsors, I'm going to be better representation of our brands. And to all my fans, I'm going to make it up to you. I promise." Pretty detailed statement, Ryan. You mentioned about sponsors. That's key. He doesn't want to lose those sponsors. Those paychecks will go down.
Absolutely. You know, that's key to his branding. You know, I mean, like I said, you know, he's at kind of that prime, getting into that prime of his career where, you know, two, company, Gatorade, Nike, whatever it is, are looking at this guy and say, you know, he's the future of the NBA. I mean, Santiago, halfway through the year, the Grizzlies were top of the world, and then John Morant gets hurt, and then he gets in trouble.
In March.
He never really rebounded, you know, and then Dylan Brooks goes crazy and kind of opens up the cage against rattles LeBron James, you know, and then there you go, they get eliminated. So it's been a tough couple weeks, you know, couple months for Grizzlies, you know, because halfway through the year, it looks like no one was going to stop this team, you know. So, I mean, they were better, you know, they were on top of the West easily over the Nuggets, you know. And I'm saying they were a better team than the Nuggets, but, you know, they definitely had a better record, you know. But so that, you know, this they can kind of rebound off this. I think they'll be able, you know, they played without John Moran for a period of time. I think they'll be okay. So we'll see what happens to the Grizzlies as an organization. You know, they've already said they have no intention of bringing back Dylan Brooks back to the organization, which is, you know, I mean, he's kind of a nutcase, but he's kind of like a Ron Artest, you know, a necessary
good defender.
Yeah, great defender, great. You know, when he keeps his mouth shut, you know, he's a, you know, productive player on both ends of the court, but, you know, understanding, you know, why they need to kind of move on, you know, so. The Grizzlies are trying to cut their losses as an organization, you know, realize that self John Morant, you know, Desmond Bane, Jackson, you know, defensive player of the year. So they got some building pieces. They'll be okay. You know, that includes players like Brandon Clark, who missed most of the year, end of the year, Steven Adams. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful for the Grizzlies, you know, and they can get through the 25 games, you know, and John Morant can kind of clean up his act. I think they'll be okay.
To be precise, Morant's sponsors or his endorsement deals are with Nike, Powerade. Those are the top two that he is sponsored with. And, of course, some other ones as well. Let me finish the statement. I'm spending the offseason and my suspension continuing to work on my own mental health and decision-making. I'm also going to be training so that I'm ready to go back when I can be on the court. I know my teammates are going to hold it down. And I'm so sorry I won't be out there with you at the beginning of the season. So it's 25 games at the beginning of the season. I hope you'll give me the chance to prove to you over time I'm a better man than what I've been showing you. I'm glad he released a statement. It's something different from Kyrie Irving, which I don't think he ever did. Maybe he tweeted something out. But he's taking responsibility, yeah, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think I understand whether, you know, he's truly remorseful, that will tell in time. But, you know, I think him and the NBA were working together, you know, for the best for him. You know, obviously he knew this suspension was coming, you know, so gave him time. And I think that's why they kind of delayed the announcement, to give him time to, you know, get his own public statement, right, you know, and they determined he was remorseful and all that, to give him, to say the right words. Obviously, that sounds really good on paper, you know, but we'll see. Time will tell if he actually, you know, can talk the talk.
Yeah, and NBA probably had this analyzed probably during the playoffs, but they didn't want to give attention, you know, during the finals or anything. They just want to get this afterwards,
yeah,
which is probably a smart,
you know,
move.
It was a smart PR move. You know, I mean, why bring negative attention to the league when you know this is going to be a news story in any time you direct attention away from the finals, you know, which is, you know, the ultimate apex of your season for the NBA. So,
yeah, which let's segue to that. This past Monday, the Denver Nuggets defeated the Miami Heat in five games, won the series 4-1. It was not close, you can say. Game two was probably the closest game of all the finals. Nikola Jokic won the MVP. Your thoughts over the series, and was it a blowout to you?
It went, you know, even like game five, you know, I mean, even though it was back and forth, even to the last closing second, you just kind of knew the Nuggets were going to win. You know, they just kind of had the F factor. You know, I think that he did the best they could, you know, and got through the Eastern Conference. To me, it was a blown opportunity for the Celtics. I mean, we kind of talked about this beforehand. You know, this is a team that was probably better on paper than the Heat. He were just clutched when it had to, and you know, I think would have been a better finals if the Celtics had played the Nuggets. But
that, no, don't that say that.
The Heat won and they won fair and square. You know, they deserved the opportunity to play in the finals. But like I said, the Celtics just have a better team on paper, and they probably would have matched up a little better. They just had no answers, for either. You try to sack Jokic, they had no answers for Murray. I just think that the Celtics may have been able to handle them a little better, but they couldn't handle the Heat, so they probably couldn't handle the Nuggets either. So there's nothing against the Heat. Nothing against Eric Spoelstra. It was more just a credit to the Nuggets. Didn't really change the way they do every other game. The Nuggets kind of played through Murray and Jokic, and we talked, in game, two, what was the big difference is that basically they let Jokic score, so Jokic's going to be the playmaker, but the Nuggets adjusted from that, If Jokic gets triple doubles, if he gets in the 20s, more than 10 assists, it'll be really tough. But if he got 40 points, that one game, he got 40 points and 4 assists, they're just not the same team. So, kudos for the Nuggets for making an adjustment and Murray really stepping up and, kind of just being that, cold superstar with Jokic. Jokic won the MVP, but I think Murray was right there almost every single game with him. And also, there's the role with Aaron Gordon at times was, unstoppable. Michael Porter was great. I think you just hire quality role players, too. There's nothing wrong with Mastrov or Gabe Vincent or Duncan Robinson or Caleb Martin. But they're not the same level that the role players of the Nuggets were. I think Jimmy Buckets might have been at times the best player on the court at times. Bam Adebayo played much better than he did against the Celtics. But it just wasn't enough, to win a series against, the quality team of Denver. And this is coming. Denver's been putting his team together. In the year of, where coaches get fired, rather quickly, I amend the Nuggets and the organization for having patience with Mike Malone and their superstars, having faith that, that they can get it together. I say one of the best things that happened to the Heat, not say, personally to Jamal Murray, but when he got hurt, it really changed the mindset of Jokic. Jokic went from a guy who was just primary just a scorer, then, the ball just kind of, he went from a scorer, playmaker role when, Murray was there. And then when Murray came back, adding another type of player like him, from a different position, a guard position, that just really became really, really tough for other teams, and they just built, a system around there. So, also, we didn't get much playing time, but I'd like to give credit to our local superstar, Thomas Bryant of the Nuggets for being the first player, in a long time from Rochester to hoist the NBA championship trophy.
Yeah. An incredible run by him and the Denver Nuggets. Jokic, I actually heard Jokic did not want to go to the parade want to go to the championship parade in Colorado.
Yeah, he's not much for set attention, he's very personal, he likes to keep to himself, even during the championship night, he was kind of, shook the hands of the Heat, gave some hugs, and he would really just be fine just going back to the locker room to celebrate, He's not much for the public celebration, that's just kind of guy Jokic is, but I think in the end he did enjoy himself being on a parade, though.
But the Nuggets kind of skated through. I think the closest series they'd had, which was not saying much, was against Phoenix. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got 2-2 with Phoenix. And, Phoenix will be a different animal. I think Vogel is, I think they see what he did with the Lakers, in the bubble to get him to the championship. And seeing that, he's been able through his time, I don't think he's like a guy who gets everybody excited. You hire Frank Vogel. I don't think it's I think he's a good coach, and I think, you know, sometimes he gets a bad rap, you know, but this is a guy, I think, who can help bring this team to the next level, whether that's with Chris Paul or not with Chris Paul, but we know it'll be with Booker and Durant, whether that's their A-N or not. That time will tell, you know. They have to make some hard choices and build it, you know, kind of build this roster to, you know, a little bit differently to kind of compete with the Nuggets in the for a championship.
Speaking about the Suns and Chris Paul, Steve, Phoenix Suns are playing to waive Chris Paul, which was announced a week ago. But Chris Paul said this week he wants to stay in Phoenix, possibly maybe restructuring his contract. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is basically telling Chris Paul, restructure your contract or we're releasing you. You know, they...
He likes Phoenix.
He likes Phoenix, and who wouldn't want to play with, you know, Booker and Durant? You know, you want to lengthen your career as a point guard, play with players who don't make you have to work that hard, you know? And I think, you know, he's realizing, you know, he can't be that guy who just is a focal point, that lead guard anymore. That's not, and he doesn't have the energy, the legs left to it, but if he can find that smaller role, with it, you know, playing with players like me or Booker and Durant, you know, this could lengthen his career a little more. But basically, they can't, with that taking a lesser role, they can't afford to be paying him, you know, superstar type money.
Now, those days are over for CP3. We'll see what happens with this offseason in the NBA. Let's go into the Hornets. Charlotte is going to be sold. Michael Jordan is finalizing this deal with a group led by Gabe Plotkin and Rich Schnall. The five-time MVP as a player was the majority owner of his home state's franchise for 13 years. Hornets will have a new owner, maybe some hope for that city and that team to go further in the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah, it's a, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, obviously, you know, was the best or not one of the best players ever. Superstar, you know, athlete, superstar entertainer, businessman, just not a good owner, San Diego, not a good owner. Most people say the best thing he did for the Hornets was bringing back the name the Hornets.
From the Bobcats.
Other than that, you know, the team's just fluttered, you know. He didn't make wise choices of GMs, coaches, direction of the organization, you know. It just wasn't a good fit for him, you know. They're probably best for the organization as a whole. They move on, you know, you get fresh blood, you know, making decisions around there. So, like I said, you know, he succeeded pretty much everything else he did in life except for this. So he can't be perfect, I guess.
Can't be perfect. We'll see when this deal will be finalized, probably as soon as this week. Warriors got a new GM, Mike Dunleavy Jr., not his dad, the coach, but Mike Dunleavy Jr. will be tapped as the new general manager of the Warriors, who were eliminated by the Los Angeles Lakers. This Warriors team is kind of getting old. We don't know what's going to happen with Draymond Green. And of course, the previous GM, he resigned a couple weeks ago, Bob Myers. Your thoughts over this, this new era for the Warriors, I guess.
They're basically looking for somebody who will reinvent the map. You know, the Warriors, they've done succeed at everything, and that with the success of drafting good players, you end up being good, is that you've got a lot of good players on your roster, and good players want to get paid. There's only so much money to be for players to get paid, you know. So, obviously, you got your core, kind of your core duo of Curry and Thompson. They're not going anywhere. You know, Green, you could say, is part of that core, but they're at the crossroads of Green. You know, Is he really
tired of his dramatic theatrics?
Yeah, is he really worth it? We'll see, yo. My guess is that Myers and ownership had different ideas on how money should be spent. And I think it's getting tiresome to try to make this work every year, you know, to keep everybody happy. And, you know, so you guys have basically another fresh voice in there, you know, maybe a different ideas on the way you can construct this roster. I think, you know, I don't think there's any bad blood with Myers and ownership. I just think it's hard, you know. You don't want to have to be the one to make the decisions. You keep bringing or you're not keep the trade, you know, some of these other pieces they brought in, you know.
Andrew Wiggins and the other other young players.
Andrew, you know, I mean, they could have hit home runs and everything. Myers was great at drafting. He was great at, you know, getting Wiggins in a trade was masterful for D'Angelo Russell. Wow. But at the same time, you know,
Jordan Poole was also in that addition. Also bringing in Dante DiVincenzo, so he has put some pieces in there.
His brother Baker Dunleavy just became the GM of NBA team, but the Villanova basketball. He was once, I think, formerly the coach of Quinnipiac College in Connecticut. So, it's a transitional time for the Dunleavy family. They're now both in decision making for rosters at the NBA and college teams. So.
Yeah, Dunleavy, played professional basketball. He was a scout. He started off after his post basketball playing career. He started as a scout for the Golden State Warriors. Then he was promoted in 2019 to assistant general manager of the Warriors, and then 2021 he was promoted to vice president of basketball operations. So he's moved up the ladder pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of a credit to the type of person is, you know, his smart. So, you know, best of luck to him in this in his endeavors here as a new GM for the Warriors. He's gonna have a lot of tough decisions to be made.
His first decision is probably Draymond Green.
Could be, yeah. You know, I obviously ownership is comfortable with his mindset on the roster. So I think when you keep a guy, you kind of keep a guy in house. You know, maybe it wasn't ultimately his decision on all the decisions organization. You know, GM, you know, is kind of just seven levels now. I think you have really two levels of who have like a president who's a basketball operations who kind of has the final say over roster, but he's probably made a lot of the little decisions, whether, you know, he's probably more connected to the, you know, the scouting and the G League roster, you know, and all that. Now he's going to be the guy who ultimately, you know, he's deciding, you know, who's going to get paid and who's not going to get paid. So it's a little different of a mindset.
There you have it. The Warriors, we'll see if they extend their dynasty for a bit. Let's go into soccer. The U.S. beat Mexico 3-0 in a Nations League semifinal yesterday. Two goals by Pulisic, a goal by Francisco Pepe. Mexico nowhere to be found. We'll face Canada this Sunday. Huge win by the U.S. Ryan.
Yeah. So I mean, it kind of distracted everybody from the big news of the day, and that's Greg Berhalter coming back as manager of the U.S. national team
after 6 months of hiatus.
Yeah, that's weird. I think I really thought it was Jesse Marsh's job, you know, and they were just waiting for the tournament to be over.
Yeah, which is interesting, the whole the timing of the whole situation. Yesterday around 6 p.m., Jesse Marsh's agent tweeted out that he would not be the coach for the U.S. And then an hour later, Berhalter was going to be the manager. And the reason why the 6-month hiatus is because he was under investigation about a situation with his current wife when she was a girlfriend, that he harassed her and all that. And of course, the Gio Reyna situation with the parents and Claudio and Greg Berhalter. So I guess my guess, Ryan, that the U.S. Hockey Federation wanted Marge as their first choice. If they didn't get him, then Berhalter was going to be the guy.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, props to whatever, you know, not being distracted by that. You know, they were great last night. You know, Plesnik was great. You know, did the ball movement. You know, it was a fun, you know, match to watch, you know, minus last.
Very competitive.
You know, 20 minutes. Yeah, very competitive. Last 20 minutes kind of got a little ugly, you know. Mexico kind of lost their cool. Fortunately, you know, we're down a couple players for the, you know, championship on Sunday because of, you know, I think bad roughing. You know, I think the man in the middle lost control and, you know, was just throwing out red cards, you know, for, you know, U.S. players being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, and I think Mexico fans want Mexico fans. You know, they don't like to lose, and especially don't like to lose the United States.
Exactly. And it was the debut of Florian Balogun, a prospect that had dual citizenship. He could choose England or the U.S. He chose the U.S. He scored 20 goals for his club in France for Ligue 1. So he was a prospect that the U.S. really wanted. And you know, could solve our striker issues. We don't have striker issues because we had tons of strikers. But of course, Pepe was going to be our choice. But Balogun might, like, there might be a striker competition for that one.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can give a little bit of help to Plesnik. You know, I mean, Plesnik is just obviously hands down the present, the future of U.S. soccer. You know, but you know, we need that Ko guy. You know, I think that's what was lacking in the World Cup. You know, there was every game it seemed like it was all on Plesnik. You know, to be the playmaker and finisher. You know, hopefully, you know, getting other pieces around him. You know, he can be free to be the player. You know, he needs to be. So I think this is great. The future is great. Again, this is even like a big tournament. Obviously, I think eyes are set on the Gold Cup here in a couple weeks, you know, to see. I even know who's going to be coaching the Gold, you know, if it's going to be.
Yeah, It has been officially announced that Berhalter will be the head coach. I guess they might move him in. I mean, he does know the players, and he does have, like, the roster notes from the prior 4 years. So, I mean, I don't see why not start. And he's had a 6-month vacation, so I don't see why not he'll start coaching for the Gold Cup.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. So, again, so there's all eyes on U.S. here for the next month or so. Hopefully continue to build some momentum. You know, Sunday will be interesting, you know. Canada's good. You know, they didn't do good in the World Cup, but this is an up-and-coming soccer powerhouse in CONCACAF. It'd be nice to get a three-way. You know, I feel like there's so much pressure on the U.S. playing Mexico every day in that game, you know. Now, you know, you have another rival that, you know, close proximity, to us.
Well, you're pretty close to them, aren't they? I mean, aren't you?
Yeah. You feel it's probably differently being down in Florida than, you know, Mexico is still close, but here,
more like Cuba.
It's really interesting, you know, I always think about Canada's kind of a rise in sports, you know. You look at a lot of NBA players in basketball, like a Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray is from Toronto. You've got Toronto and that province, Ontario, and, you know, Quebec. You've got a lot of European influence. I've always just wondered why this team, Canada Soccer, just hasn't gained momentum. But, you know, finally they are. You know, it is a team, you know, a country that's so international based, like it's a hodgepodge, you know. You have an English, you know, base to it, you know, and but then you got a French, an English and French base to it, and then mix it other, you know, hodgepodge of countries, you know, around the world, you know.
So, yeah, a lot of different European, Italians in Montreal and all that, yeah.
Yeah, it was only a matter of time before soccer really hit that stride. You know, I mean, it's always been popular. You look at attendance in MLS, whether it be at Montreal or Toronto or Vancouver, you know, obviously.
Don't worry, Lionel Messi, we'll fix that issue.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, very, very exciting time for US soccer, for sure.
Awesome. Well, anything else before we head into predictions?
If everybody's into, you know, our last college, you know, sporting event of this calendar year is the College World Series. We'll sort of conclude this academic year of sports. We got a lot of unique field. You know, you got some SEC powerhouses because the SEC is good at everything. You got Florida, LSU, and Tennessee. You know, so you got the three kind of headliners, you know, in this tournament in the sense of, you know, name recognition. But if you're into college baseball, you know the team to beat is from North Carolina, and that's the one is that in Winston-Salem, and that's the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, who are leading the top five in pitching and hitting in the NCAA. So they're a tough out. And if you're into college baseball, you understand that, you know, tournaments held, World Series held in Omaha, Nebraska, at Charles Schwab Stadium, which plays much different than any college stadium and, you know, that most teams play in because it's big. It's spaces, and college baseball is usually very, very much dependent on the home run, which you're not going to get a lot of those there. So the game's different, you know. Teams that, you know, don't depend on power and don't, you know, are good defenders. And you've got to have good pitching depth because this tournament, you got to win four games to win the championship. So you need depth to succeed.
There you have it. Last college sports in the academic year. And then right after that, college football in August. Let's go into predictions. Game one today, Oral Roberts versus TCU. Who you got, Ryan?
Two teams that, you know, if you asked them a couple months ago, probably people wouldn't predict it would be here. But Oral Roberts, a 4 seed. So that's like equivalent to like somebody like an FAU Santiago making it to the Final Four. And then you got TCU, which is a team whose middle of the season was 500 and basically gone on a tear since then. So I'm going to go TCU. I just based on, you know, talent and the roster, but Oral Roberts is another team that, you know, won 23 out of 24 games. So they're hot too. So we'll see.
Virginia versus Florida, your Gators. I'm not sure if you're a Florida baseball fan as well.
I am, San Diego. I got my living room is all gated up for the, you know, this next couple of weeks, hopefully, of baseball. I'm wearing my Gators baseball hat. Obviously, I'm going to go with my heart and think this ultra-talented Gators team with a team full of hitters and, you know, pitchers will get the job done at least today.
Virginia Cavaliers loses against the Gators. Tomorrow, Wake Forest versus Stanford. Who you got?
Like I said, you know, Stanford's team's been to Omaha three times, so they got experience. Wake is, the team to beat in this tournament, so I'm going to go with them. And I'll see if you saw, LSU, Tennessee, LSU, if you're familiar with college baseball, you'll know the name of Paul Skeens, who will be the number one player drafted in the MLB draft here in a couple of weeks. But get familiar with him because he is a dynamite pitcher. So they will definitely win game one over Tennessee.
LSU wins. USA versus Canada on Sunday night.
All right, why not? USA all the way.
And should the Miami Heat get Bradley Beal or Damian Lillard from the Blazers?
Kind of like, it seems like you're playing a little bit of video game logic here at San Diego, but yeah, I mean, I think anybody would say that he needs one more superstar to get the job done in the finals. I think Damian Lillard would be great. I don't know if it gets done. The problem with Bradley Beal is he's got a humongous contract, and he would definitely probably want to go to the Heat, so that's not the issue. He does have a no-trade clause. So he's, I think, the only player in the NBA right now who has a no-trade clause. So he's pretty much ultimately going to decide on his future. And that's all dependent if the they haven't officially decided that they're going in a total rebuild mode. But the fact that the Wizards hired, you know, somebody from the Thunder front office makes you feel like they're going to go in a way that Thunder thinking that basically tank. So you're gonna, I think a lot of those pieces on the Wizards roster that, you know, maybe not young, but are going to definitely be movable. So maybe like a Chris Offerzinger could see being on the move too.
There you have it. Ryan Christo with his Miami Heat insight. Ryan, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about, hey, should I start be planning 4th of July by now?
I'm going to talk before 18. Yeah. It's never too early to start planning.
Never start planning. You can reach us at the Sportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram, or go to our website, thesportscast.net. A lot of sports going on. Summer sports. We got Gold Cup. We got the College World Series, NBA offseason news. Of course, the NBA draft coming up. So a lot going on. Ryan, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Santiago, it's good to be here and good talking some sports.
Some sports in June. And this was your update.